This is HDN.
Welcome back to the Beaver Bank Bunker. It's Jamie and Lisa on this August 18th.
And looks like Haligonians are going to have their opportunity to express their feelings about what is going on in Ferguson, Missouri. There is a Facebook page that has been set up and a march that has been planned for Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. And it's called Halifax Hands Up. It is in support of, the folks in Ferguson, Missouri, who are experiencing a little bit of trouble right now. And I guess it's just our way of saying, hey, we're hearing what's going on down there and we're feeling for you.
So what are your thoughts of Ferguson, Missouri?
I think they're handling it the best way they know how. I think the curfew was a good idea.
Before they even called the curfew, you remember that? I was watching the night before. Was it Friday night?
Yeah.
It just showed person after person with their shirts or hoodies tied around their faces so that they will not be identified by cameras, just waltzing in, smashing windows, waltzing into businesses, and walking away with TVs.
Yep, and that's got absolutely nothing to do with a teenage boy that was shot dead in the streets of Ferguson, Missouri. It's got nothing to do with the right to peaceful protest.
Everybody has the right to peaceful protest, but that doesn't mean walking into somebody's establishment and walking out with a flat screen TV.
Yep.
I mean, that's just looting. Those
Absolutely.
People were looting.
Yep.
And as they said, you know, you can protest till your heart's content from 5 in the morning until midnight.
That's right. And then for the next 5 hours, they need the calm and the quiet to clear out the streets of the hooligans.
And did you watch after midnight?
Yep.
Those weren't protesters out there.
Nope.
There was not one protester. There were just a bunch of assholes that decided that they were going to go and loot and rob.
Yep.
And you get people like that, and that's what they're cracking down on.
And good on those residents that parked themselves in front of businesses to prevent the looters from getting in. They certainly went above and beyond, and many would say that they risked their life in order to do that.
That's what community is all about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have pride in their neighborhoods. And, you know, this whole no peace, no justice chant that is happening time and time again, we've got to let the process go through. We have to investigate that people who are crying and screaming for justice. We want justice and we want it now. Well, no, you know what? We've got to follow the process. We've got to have, you know, the proper investigation that takes place into what happened that night and why that young man ended up with, what was it, 6 bullets in his body.
Yeah.
You know, everyone is pissed off that the police officer hasn't been charged. Well, you've got to investigate to figure out what it is you could or could possibly charge him with.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you're just wasting your time. If you jump the gun and you get it wrong, then
pun intended.
Yeah, I mean,
and I understand that, you know, he should go and have a trial and we should get to the bottom of that. But this is just, you know, it's not like they think two wrongs can make a right. It's like, yeah, there was one big wrong. So let's just go out and create total anarchy for no apparent reason. That doesn't make it right.
And there's large indication as well that many of these looters come from a ways. I mean, they don't even live in the Ferguson area.
They're professional looters.
So overnight Thursday into Friday, there was something really weird happening over Cowie Hill. Saw some pictures of, it was a perfectly round fireball by the looks of things.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy says that he saw a total of 6 of them in 30 minutes, 2 singles, 2 in pairs. He says they flew slow across the sky and then would stop and go again, and then they just went straight up and were gone. Don't know if anybody else may have witnessed this, but it was sometime overnight in the early morning hours of Friday over Cowie Hill.
So it was just one person that saw this?
Well, this is the video, and the pictures came from a gentleman named Maurice.
I think Maurice is trying to pull one on us.
What, do you think so?
Well, what do you mean, do I think so? No, I think it was the aliens. They're landing in Cowie Hill because they thought, you know where we're going to land? Cowie Hill.
That's I mean, certainly all the things that have happened lately with drones, that was sort of my first thought, actually.
But I mean, drones, they wouldn't come in singles and then pairs and then singles and then more. I mean, my God. That sounds like for just one person to see all that. I'm thinking, I don't know.
You're thinking Maurice is on the dope?
Maurice might have been into something.
Okay. All right.
If there were like, you know, like what happened down at Shag Harbor, if there were like a whole whack of people that saw this, then I'd say, oh, okay, but you know, this Maurice. It's Maurice's word against, you know, everything that we hold is true.
Okay.
So Maurice, I think we need a little more evidence than a YouTube video.
All right.
Do we have that YouTube video?
No, I don't. I haven't seen it yet. No.
I'll try to grab it. And if I do, I'll put it on our Facebook page.
All righty. Hey, big hats off to some folks over at the Halifax Port Authority. They went on a rescue mission this past week. And the result were four kittens that have been delivered to the SPCA for adoption now. And I guess the excitement started early last week when folks working dockside thought they heard a strange sound around one of the big excavators that came in. It had just come off a ship from Newfoundland. And sure enough, they could see little tiny kitten heads in the tracks of the machine, like nesting in the tires.
Wouldn't that be horrible if that's all they saw? If that's all that was there?
Oh, God.
Little tiny kitten heads?
That's brutal. Oh. So they actually waited a couple of days thinking that maybe Mama Cat was around as well. Saw nothing. So that's when they decided to leap into action and went on a stakeout and actually found the kittens there. And one by one, they caught them, popped them into their carriers. And they figure that they're about 5 weeks old and they've been taken to the SPCA shelter in Burnside. One girl, three boys, and they are apparently doing much better. They're getting stronger and eating well, so it won't be too much longer before they will be up for adoption.
Here's a subject I want to bring up. It's David Boyd wrote us a letter.
Okay.
As he often does. And like all of his letters, I agree with some points. Mm. Says, here's a letter to the mayor. Do you want me to read I'll read the letter. And then we can critique this. Because as I said, I do believe that there are some good points in here. I also think that there are some points where he may go a bit too far. Mm. Dear Mayor Savage, matter of urgent public safety has been brought to your attention. We need safety standards that cleanly define what is considered a safe rickshaw vehicle for hire. Mm. And they must carry public liability insurance. We need to have rickshaws regulated. Throughout the past summer tourism season, passengers have been injured, woman's face smashed, etc. The operators have done several safety violations, going the wrong way up a one-way street, running through red lights, etc. There is no criminal record check or training. I am surprised no customer has been sexually assaulted on record yet. Another note, they should be required to have tie-ins training. Many operators are out-of-town students who do not know how to treat tourists or the attractions and history of the city. Hmm. So here's his solution. Rickshaws must be considered under the vehicles for hire and added to the bylaw and other provincial and municipal laws and safety acts. Rickshaw operators need safety, tourism, general knowledge of the streets and buildings to properly serve the public. Do you agree with that so far?
Well, some of it I do. Yeah, I mean, definitely there is a need for regulation, and I think there should be some insurance involved, because he mentioned that woman who was severely injured earlier this summer. And when he said that she had her face smashed, he was putting it lightly. I mean,
really?
She jaw broke. I mean, it was just brutal what happened.
What happened to the rickshaw? What was it?
My understanding is that he stumbled and the rickshaw went up over a curb and then spilled completely. Yeah. And she tumbled out of it.
He goes on. The operator should be required to wear gloves, helmet, and pads, elbow, knee, and pads. Customers should have helmets and seatbelts available if they choose to use or wear them. The rickshaw vehicle needs to be equated like a bicycle with white front and red amber rear lights reflectors. They should be painted with bright colors, amber, yellow, etc. There should be monthly safety checks of the equipment. Market studies should be conducted to see how many rickshaws are able to serve the market. Numbering and limitations like taxis, one rickshaw for every certain number of people. Thank you for your consideration, David Boyd.
Yeah, see, I don't know if that level of regulation is required.
No, it's
the safety.
Private enterprise, really.
Well,
if you had a million rickshaws out there, most of them would go out of business.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that goes for their knowledge of the city as well.
Well, I mean, that's another one of those industries that relies on tips. So the more you know, the more personable you are, the bigger your tip. So it's within your best interest.
And if there's another rickshaw company that starts up and they say, hey, our rickshaw drivers know their stuff and they can tell you things. But, you know, pulling one of those rickshaws down the street, you really don't have time to go, if you look over on your right... that's the historic properties. You know, I mean, the job of these guys is just to nicely and leisurely pull people around the waterfront area in Halifax.
Or to take them from the bar district back down to their hotel.
Those guys have to be strong because some of those hills are pretty steep.
Yeah, but certainly I think there should be some level of insurance involved there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is some backing for customers if they do get hurt. Yeah. I mean, yes, there is
I'm
a
sure
level.
They sign the waiver at the beginning.
Well, I don't know. Is there a waiver that you sign? I've never been
Bet
in one
there
of those
is
things.
Now.
So, yeah, seriously.
But what about the white front light and red amber rear lights or reflectors? If it's on the road, I say, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Have the guy with one of those little lights on his forehead.
You know, if they're operating after dark, yeah, that makes sense.
And a couple of reflectors on the back?
Sure. Well, that's not going to kill anything. That's not going to hurt anybody.
Well, it might actually save a few
people. Exactly, and that's the whole point.
So, David, we agree with probably 75% of the stuff you say here. I don't
I'd
think that they
so.
Should be regulated like taxis. We're having enough trouble with the taxis being regulated.
Yeah, exactly.
You get these few elite rickshaw drivers, big fat guys going, yeah, this is it. This is my route, and I'll take you if I want to. I mean,
but
no.
I'm not going over the bridge,
yeah.
Damn it.
No, we don't need that.
Hey, the CNE started in Toronto. Yeah. Over the weekend, mm-hmm. And it's always a hoot and a half to just sort of have a look at some of the crazier things on the menu.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of which, I don't see any Donair egg rolls on the menu.
Oh, here we go. Here's her Pizza Town plug. You know what? I want money from Pizza Town. If you're going to make a Pizza Town commercial every single time we put on this podcast. We should be getting something out of it.
Well, no,
we should
no,
get
just,
free Donair egg rolls for this.
I was just thinking that, you know, that's something that would be perfect for CNE. That'd be perfect fair food.
And it's just something that we happen to have ordered over the weekend, and we happen to get them from Pizza Town.
Damn fine.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
But anyway, on the menu at the CNE this year, chocolate fried chicken, liquid nitrogen sorbets.
Whoa, chocolate fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be a sweet chalk. It would be a savory chalk.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's, you know, at first blush, you would think it would be sweet and disgusting, but they're saying that it's a more of a savory creation. The chicken is rubbed in dark chocolate,
mm-hmm.
and then it's brined in a cocoa-laced buttermilk for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Then it's rolled in flour that's mixed with cocoa and some spices, and then fried up. And served.
You know what? I think that would be good.
I think it would be, too.
You know, I saw on that show that comes from Boston, the Phantom Gourmet, there was a place there that was making Captain Crunch fried chicken. And I thought that was in my mind for the longest time. And I actually, do you remember, I went out and bought Captain Crunch, crushed it up, and breaded the fried chicken in Captain Crunch. That was damn good.
It was good.
Ew, you know, chicken and a little bit of sweetness is it's kind of a good idea, actually.
Yeah. Let's see. The liquid nitrogen fruit sorbets. Now, apparently this has got to be done very, very carefully.
Well, yeah, if you're using liquid nitrogen.
Well, yeah.
Oops, I just froze that infant. Sorry, ma'am.
Definitely been people who've gotten very, very sick off of this. A British teenager had to have her stomach surgically removed after doing something with liquid nitrogen. And it's a big problem if you're using it in cocktails and it's not properly evaporated. They mix the liquid nitrogen with fresh fruit and fruit juices to create a low-cal, dairy-free sorbet. Mm-hmm. And it's done in 45 seconds. I guess the liquid nitrogen is so cold that it flash freezes.
Yeah.
Ice crystals don't form, so the sorbet is extremely smooth. And so that is one of the big draws at the CNE this past weekend. And final big draw this year is dark roast coffee mixed with organic grass-fed butter and coconut oil instead of cream and sugar.
Mm. Which, you know, I completely agree with that because grass is butter's natural food. You feed butter grass. Normally, butter just doesn't roam around and eat grains. I mean, does that sound like that? Grass-fed butter. It's like,
I'm assuming there are...
It's butter from grass-fed cows, but I mean, grass-fed butter.
Yeah. And finally, if you're looking for something on the sweet side of things, you can order a crowbar for $5. It is a buttery croissant that's baked with either your choice of a Mars bar, a Kit Kat, a caramel, or a Reese's peanut butter cup. But anyway, folks organizing the Atlantic Winter Fair, or the Maritime Fall Fair, I guess is what they call it now, at Exhibition Park, should take note of some of these things.
I hate to say it, but we are so far behind. I think maybe they're going to start battering wieners and have those
pogos
for the first time ever. Food is not really one of those things that the Fall Fair has. other than the food that you normally get at Exhibition Park.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shame because, I mean, that's certainly, they could definitely cash in on, you know, the food truck craze, the...
Yeah, oh, big time.
Yeah.
Have them all parked right in the front there. Even less parking for us.
Yeah.
Great. Hang on a second. I'm surprised there aren't places like that that are... You know what? If I came to Halifax as a tourist, I would want lobster. So, you know,
You don't think there's enough places around here?
You know what would really go well here in Halifax? And you're going to just say sacrilege, but a red lobster.
I've wondered that for a long time.
But think about it. I mean, yes, I know you're saying, well, a red lobster. I mean, that's a chain that's all over the place. We're in Halifax. We have real lobster. Yeah, but when you get these people coming down from the cruise ships, they see red lobster. A, they see something that's familiar, but B, they're in Halifax. So it's like, hey, yeah. Why don't we go to Red Lobster in Halifax? Bet you it's not going to get any fresher than that.
No, I've been saying that for a while, that we could certainly use one. Hey, speaking of the waterfront, I guess there was something big going on Friday night at the screening of The Proposal. It was the final movie. It was the People's Choice winner for the Summer of Sandra for the Atlantic Film Festival, their outdoor film fest.
And that won it?
Well, I have a feeling that they had a ringer who was, no pun intended, who was voting for The Proposal because apparently someone got proposed to and accepted at the outdoor showing of The Proposal. So,
good on you then.
Perhaps the fix was in, as they say in the trades.
There you go, people. And I would also like to say a big hello to all the new people or the people that are now listening to us in Fort McMurray and other areas of Alberta.
Yeah.
I just happened to look at the internet tracking, and evidently we're getting a lot of people from the Western provinces listening to us. Maybe we're just a little touch of home for you.
I hope so.
Wouldn't that be cool if we were actually running ads on the Halifax Daily News for local establishments in Fort McMurray?
Wouldn't that be something? Like the car dealership in Fort Mac. Yeah.
Hey,
awesome.
Everybody. Welcome to the Halifax Daily News, brought to you by Bill's Eatery. When you're done with a hard day on the rigs, just come on down to Bill's. You never know.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah. Anyway, we are back here in the Beaver Bank Bunker again tomorrow. That would be Tuesday.
Until then.